Father, I thank you, Lord, for another day. That's right, Lord. It is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the dawning of a new day. Praise God. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. I thank you, and I give you the praise and glory. And as always, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple in the name of Jesus. So let it be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. You know, the Lord, he loves new things. Hallelujah. In many places, you know, throughout the scriptures, he talks about new things. Praise God. And we're going to talk about that, being that we are at the very start of a new month. We're right there. You know, today is only the second day. Yesterday was the conclusion of a crossover into the second half. So really, we're still right there. Praise the Lord. And we can shape the way things are going to turn out, you know, by how things start out. Praise God, you know. So I'm not going to take any chances. And we're going to influence the way that things would turn out for us. You know, from beginning, God will making things new. You know, make things new. And even all to the way to the end, we're still making things new. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. You can open the Bible, if you have a Bible book, and fast forward to the end, and you'll find this chapter 21 of Revelation almost at the very end. And he's still talking about making things new. Started by making things new in the beginning. And at the end, he's still making things new. Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. All things. Now, that's not some things. That's all things. A-L-L. He makes all things new. Glory to God. Well, if the Lord really were to make all things new in our life, beginning today, what would it look like? Well, that's what we want to consider for ourselves. You know, the June is already gone. Nothing else we can do about that other than look back and thank God for the victories that we may have experienced, or perhaps learn from whatever didn't quite work out well. But that's all we can do with it. It's gone. Praise God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord said in verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Don't dwell in the past. Behold, I do a new thing. Now, it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Why did he say that? Well, because people thought there is no way in the wilderness. And you can't find rivers in the desert. So what he's saying is that, you know, when you're in the wilderness, it's like, let's assume it's a desert kind of wilderness, you know, or the bush or anything. You can't find your way, generally speaking, because they don't make roads. You know, there's nothing guiding you through that wilderness. It's kind of like you're lost. The Lord said, I will even. Now, that even there tells you that it's something that people don't usually think might happen. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In the desert, you're not going to find any rivers. Well, but God said, I will make it. Yeah, you're not going to find a way in the wilderness. But Lord said, I will make a way for you in the wilderness. Wow. You know, so, you know, let's take a look about, consider those sayings from the Lord. Now, God can do a new thing in our lives at any time. And it could be a new day, any day that we put our mind to it, it can be a new day. But especially when it is really a new day. I mean, it's like, wow, I mean, this is like really a new day because we're starting a new month. It's we just crossed over to the second half of the year and so forth. You know, but actually, we can have a new day experience at any time. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You know, as we consider the past 6 months, let's consider some things. There is possibility that your experience over the last 6 months might not have exactly been the way you would have hoped. You know, we started out the year, many people start out the year, great hopes, great expectations, and believing the Lord for stuff and making New Year resolutions and all these things we want to happen. Well, maybe some of them did happen, and perhaps some of them did not. And you might have had limited success. Maybe even quite a bit of misfortune or what people call failure. I don't like to use the word failure. You know, as far as I'm concerned, as long as you keep trying and keep moving forward, you haven't failed yet. Now, you only fail when you quit. See? Because once you quit, then there is no chance of success because you already quit. But as long as you didn't quit or haven't quit and you keep moving or keep trying, it's not a failure. You might have learned, rather than thinking of it as failure, I love to think of it, well, I've learned how it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, so, okay, I picked up some knowledge. So you can always find some good in everything, even something that didn't look so good. Failure doesn't look good, but you can find knowledge in failure. Right? And you look at it as failure, look at it as a learning moment, an experience. Experience that you've learned and you've gained understanding of that doesn't work that way. Okay. So it's not failure. It just means it didn't work. All right. So we move on to something else. Praise the Lord. You might have had some pain, sorrow, grief, distress, anguish, maybe even sickness, you know, disappointment, etc. You know, that's all kind. You name all the negative things that might have happened over the last 6 months. And everybody would have experienced one or more of these negative categories, you know, and over the last few months, past 6 months. But as we start, literally, we're at the start of this second half of the year, as we start this second half of the year, you can choose to make a declaration, you know, and the declaration can be such like, look, the devil try to bring back to your memory all the challenges and so forth and the things you faced. You can say that was then, but this is now. That's right. That was then, but this is now. You can throw that in the face of the devil. You know, we rather than spending our days brooding over the past, which you cannot change, right? And you can't live in yesterday. Yesterday's gone. You can't live in yesterday's problems or, you know, disappointments or defeat or whatever. It's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. Now, you can draw strength from it, though, but you can't go and change it. It's already gone. Now, some people have been so long in their situation, the unfortunate situation, whether it's bondage, spiritual imprisonment, sickness, etc., that they don't even know how to live in victory. That's what I want to talk about today, living in victory. You know, the children of Israel, they were in bondage for so long. You know, after the era of Joseph and that Pharaoh that favored Joseph and all of that, and everything changed, they were there for 400 years. Generation after generation, you know, they learned how to survive as slaves, how to be, you know, survive when being battered, brutalized, and oppressed, and so on. That's all they knew. So many years, generation after generation. And they just assumed that posture of being slaves. And that was it. Everybody called them so, and so they themselves called themselves that. You know, and by the time freedom was proposed to them, they lived so long in the darkness, they couldn't even see the light. Well, we may think of them as a, you know, some kind of weird people, but that's a situation that many of us find ourselves in. Even new believers come to the Lord, have lived a life of sin for so long. I mean, somebody who's coming to the Lord in their 30s, 20s, 40s, or whatever. I mean, they've been used to living this or that life for so long that now they're struggling on how to live a new life. I mean, this is the story of life, you know. But we want to change all of that. And this message today may help some of us change that mindset. The mindset of living in the past. A lot of people do live in the past. You know, so, well, I'm going to share with you a few scriptures. Not that you don't know the scriptures, but when we tie it all together, you will see what the Lord is saying. And these are common and familiar scriptures to you. But the key thing for you to remember today is that you have a part to play in determining, well, how the day is going to turn out, so to speak. And you start the day, you know, and you start a new thing, new month, new half of the year, new whatever, new job, new this, new that. Yeah, I mean, you can believe the Lord and, you know, interact with the powers that be. That's right. You know, because the Lord, he pretty much told us that. You know, he said, in fact, some of you who are here and are at the beginning of this platform, you may not have been here, but you may have heard that I've mentioned it a few times. You know, the Lord told us in two scriptures he gave us then. One was in Leviticus 6, 12, 13, 14, there-ish, about, you know, keeping the fire burning. The priest must burn wood on the fire every day and let the fire not go out and crank it up every morning, etc. And that was the foundation. The other one about that was in Psalm 110 and verse 3. It said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, the day. What day is it? It's the day of God's power. That's what you got to say every day when you wake up. Say, today is the day of God's power. Hallelujah. The beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, when the morning and the day is still pregnant, you influence it. How it's going to turn out. Just sit back and let the devil do whatever he wants. And then we start to scramble. No. Praise God. You know, we don't want to be on the reactive all the time. We want to be proactive. Praise the Lord. Proactively, you know, praising the Lord and declaring good things for yourself. You know, in the beauties of holiness, you enter into his praise. You feel his goodness. Hallelujah. That's a feeling that comes to that too. I mean, some people, we've learned that We walk by faith and not by sight, to the point that people can't even feel the Lord anymore. There is a feeling about the Lord. Praise God. You can actually feel the Lord, feel his presence, you know, feel him moving upon you. And you do that, you enter in the womb of the morning. The day is about to start. The womb of anything. The womb of a new project. The womb of the start of a new job. The womb of any new adventure or new venture, new anything. New day, new month, new half of the year, new whatever. You know, you have, you know, if you do it right, you can put a blessing even on your health. It said the dew of youth. That's where it comes from. That's how the Lord renews your youth. Now, things, the way that God ordained that things will happen, he showed it to us from the beginning. We saw it. When, in the beginning, when he was creating things, God showed us a pattern. When there was darkness upon the face of the deep, when things were in chaos, well, Holy Spirit didn't like that. We moved upon the face of the deep and began to bring order out of that chaos. That's right. And they always say, well, let there be light. And there was light. So we've been learning on this platform how to become like God. You know, well, we got to practice like God. No, let there be light. You know, light is sown for the righteous. Well, let there be light upon my path. Thy word, Psalm 119:105, is a lamp to where I'm standing. I'll never be standing in darkness. And a light to the path ahead of me. Well, you can command that light to shine. The entrance of his word brings light. Well, command that light, use the word to shine upon the day. It's simple, but it works. But then we realize that now God was faced with a choice. Many of us may not realize that. God had a choice at the beginning. There were a couple of things he could have done about that darkness. You know, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, he had a choice. The other choice he had was to say, and let the darkness be no more. He had a choice to do that. Well, he didn't. And I always like to remind myself and people about that, the fact that God did not abolish the darkness from the beginning. And as a matter of fact, not only did he not abolish the darkness, he actually gave it a name. Well, that tells you and me that there was a purpose about it. You can read the first 4 or 5 verses of Genesis 1. And you can see that when the Lord saw, he said, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. Well, good in comparison to the darkness, but he could have gotten rid of the darkness. I mean, if you know the light was good, and you know the darkness was not good, well, get rid of the darkness already. And so it can always be light. But he did not. You know, he had that choice, but he didn't do it. What he did, though, on the other hand, was he saw this light that was good. He called it day. And he saw this night that was not good. He called it night. But he left it in place. Side by side. You go through the cycles of the night, then you go into the cycle of the day, and then you come back into the night. Then you go into the day, then you come back into the night, and so on. Why? Well, that tells us that that's what we're going to be dealing with in our lives. And, you know, when you are in the night, you have an opportunity to look forward to the day. Just like Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, it was sorrow may endure in the night. So in the night, well, we think of that as dark, gloomy days and all that stuff. Well, you know, you have an opportunity to look forward to the dawning of a new day, which is really where this message today is at. Praise the Lord. And I often like to say, look, no night can last forever. That's one of my popular sayings. I love it. The night cannot last forever. God already set boundaries. And in fact, he gave the ordinances and dominion to the lights that are in the heavens. Let them be for times, for days, for seasons, and this and that. You know, so sometimes the night may last a little longer, or maybe even a lot longer, depending on the rotation, the placement of the earth, the axis, and all these things, and where you are on the surface. You know, in the United States, we have some states that have long winter days or months or weeks even. And during that time, the night hours are longer. Days might be shorter. But no matter how long the night is, one thing we know for sure is at the end of that night, there must be the dawning of a new day. It's that simple. And if we have that understanding in our mind, you know, sometimes it's like, look, it doesn't matter how long this thing is. Proverbs 23 and 18 tells us, surely there is an end. Well, I like to qualify and say, surely there's an end to the darkness, and surely there's an end to the evil day. And there's a new day, a new joy, a new gladness, a new horizon springing up. He said, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? That's right. You know, so let's keep that in mind. No matter how long. And then again, we go through cycles, right? Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 tells us why we go through cycles. The reason is, he said, the Lord has set one over against the other. That means he put them side by side. In contemporary language, that's what that means. Put them side by side. The day of adversity, which is the night. The day of prosperity, which is the day. He put them side by side. You know, why? Well, he says so that men would always look to him. You know, put your hope in the Lord and not look for any other thing. God wants us, our dependency, to be on him. You know, I mean, if everything was always day, so to speak, you are always on the mountaintop, you probably may not remember the Lord after a while because you think you have arrived and you are there. But the way the Lord does it, he will make room for opportunities for us to trust God again. You know, so when you are up, you rejoice when you are up. That's what it says. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. That's the day that you are on the mountaintop or in the light. Now, in the day of adversity, which is the darkness, well, consider. You know, so, and they all go through that. And in fact, if you're on the top right now, well, unfortunately, even that does not last forever. Now, that's for now. There's coming a time when that will last forever. There's coming a time when there will be no more darkness, no more night, no more day and night, you know, and so forth. And, you know, light and darkness, that's what controls life. That's how you count days, the evening and the morning as the first day. Once you remove the darkness, then life goes on forever because there's no more end. You can't count time anymore. That's what happens when time is removed. The element of time is introduced by this darkness versus light. That's the element of time. God introduced in the beginning the evening and the morning were the first day. The next time around, after that second cycle finished, well, the evening and the morning were the second day, etc. So the element of time is introduced by the concept of the shifting from night to day, then back to night, and then back to day again. That's the concept. And when you remove the darkness, there's no shift. It's always light. And so it will always be day, you know. You know, even Zechariah says, well, there's coming a day when the evening, it will be light. It's coming. At even time, it shall be light. And, you know, be a day like that. And well, Lord will take away all that. The Lamb himself will be the light. There's no need for closing the gates, because you only close the gates at the night. And if there's no night there, then you leave the gates open. And from that point on, when there is no night, there's no more death, because night is what determines the, you know, end of a cycle and all of that. When you take this, there has to be a transition from that cycle of day and night and all of that to a new day, which is just day forever. Praise the Lord. But we're not there yet. But right now, here's where we are. We need to take that same concept and apply it to where we are right now. And I wish right now that we have no more night, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more distress, no more sickness, no more any of these things. I mean, right now, I wish that's the way it is. Well, good wish, but that's not the reality. It's coming though. But right now, we have a way of dealing with those negative things. Number one way is to have a new paradigm, a shift in our mind. That look, I'm not going to let those things, that negative things happen to me yesterday, the day before, last month, last 6 months, and so forth. I'm not going to let those things influence the way I think about what's next. Because that's the natural thing. You think, well, you did that last time, it didn't work. What makes you think it's going to work now? That's the devil will tell you. You know, it will even show you somebody else. They were sick of that thing and they died. What makes you think the Lord's going to heal you? Well, remember last time that you did this and this, it didn't turn out well, and all these things. You know, here you are again. You've tried, it didn't work. You're trying again. It's still not going to work, you know, because it didn't work last time. And that, so this is the way the devil comes to you. But you say your response must be and should be from now on that, but that was then and this is now. Hallelujah. You know, so that's it for today. That's what we want to learn. That's what we want to begin to declare. That look, there is the dawning of a new day. A new day. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For somebody that's coming to Christ, there's a new day. It's like a new life altogether. You know, old things are passed away. Well, we can break that down into smaller pieces for every day, really. I mean, we know our whole life when we turn to Christ, your spare lifespan, you can use that 2 Corinthians 5:17 to describe it. That's a whole life time. But on a smaller scope, you can also use the same thing from day to day. So while yesterday is gone, today is a new day. You know, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, today is the day of salvation. Well, today is the day of my healing. Today is the day of my deliverance. Today is the day where I break those chains. You know, where I shake myself from the doors. Today is the day where I lose myself from the bands around my neck. Today is the day. Well, here's what happens when people been so long in a gloomy place where they cannot see the place of light. People have been in a place of despondency for so long, they cannot enter the place of hope. Some people even tell you, don't give me hope. You know, they give me hope. I've been prayed for before, been prophesied over. They told me this thing, but it didn't work. So don't give me new hope. I've seen that on TV. Hopefully, there's nobody here saying that. But if you are here saying that kind of thing, you need to toss that out. There is always hope. Hallelujah. We read that the other day. There is even hope of a tree. You know, even if it were dead, the Bible says. There's always hope. You know, the tree died, it's rotting on the ground and so forth, according to Job chapter 14, verse 7. You know, the tree is dying. Bible says there's hope of it. That it can come alive again. All it needs a little scent of water. Okay, well, there should always be hope. You know, faith works with hope, renewed hope. Listen to how Hebrews tells it. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we should never lose hope. If you lose hope, then that means you don't have faith. That's what it says, because this definition of faith and hope, they go together. I mean, faith is based on hope, you know. But when you achieve that thing, then it's no longer hope. You know, hope is what you are still looking for, but you are believing. That makes it faith. But when you get there, it's no longer faith. It's now a reality. You now have it. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, faith sees as now things that are still ahead, but you got to hope for it. You got to hope for a new day when you're in the night. You know, the day must dawn, you know, especially if you don't have power. You're in the night in some places, and I know some places where I grew up at, if the electricity fails, you know, and you are, and it's nighttime, then you just, if you have alternate means of producing electricity for yourself, then so be it. But those things can be a nuisance sometimes. But in any case, you look forward to the dawning of the day, you know, because otherwise you're in the night. But let me tell you a way that you can overcome even night times when there is no light around. Yeah, there's no electricity, you know. There's no power from the power company. There's no generator. There is no lamp externally. There is nothing that can give you light. Well, let's see how you may have the light. The light that you can use to say, I'm not in darkness. This is a new day. Well, let's see how Jesus talked about it. In the book of John, chapter 11, a powerful scripture here. I want you to consider this scripture. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He asked him a question and so forth. When he was talking about, let's go to Lazarus and so on. So he said, well, are there not 12 hours in the day? Now, this is John, chapter 11. And verse 9. See, the day is split into just 12 hours. You know, we talk of a day as 24 hours, but Jesus said, well, there's only 12 hours because the rest of it is night. So, day and night, or night and day, was the first day. So, 12 hours in the day, perhaps 12 hours in the night, makes 24 hours now. Sometimes the day is shorter, the night is longer, or the night is shorter, the day is longer. But it averages out. Okay. Are there not 12 hours in the day? Jesus asked. So the answer, that's a rhetorical question. Yeah? The answer is yes. If any man walk in the day, right, he stumbleth not, because he can see the light of this world. So those of you that power have gone out in the night, there's no light source and everything, you are looking for the day. There's that watch for the day, right? The breaking of day. You're watching. And then when the day dawns, sunrises and everything, then it begin to see the light of day. We're all glad, you know, whether there's power or not, at least you can see. Okay. Everybody can benefit from that. Everybody. Now, but in the nighttime, when there is no night, I mean, no light externally, most people will stumble, Jesus said. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles. But what is the reason why he stumbled? This is an amazing revelation that Jesus put here. Did he say that the man will stumble because he's not carrying a lamp or does not have a flashlight? Is that why he will stumble? Now listen to what Jesus said. You know, this man that's now walking in the night and will stumble, he stumbles because there is no light inside of him. That's right. Not that he has an external lamp or flashlight or any such thing, or electric power from the power company or anything, or generator or whatever. You know, he doesn't need any of that to not stumble. If there is light inside of him, that light inside of you is what I want to speak to today. Glory to God. That is the light that the Bible says the darkness shineth. I mean, the light shineth, but the darkness cannot overpower it, cannot overcome it. There's a light inside of you. Whether NEPA or whatever you guys call it over there takes light away or anything else, there's a light inside of you. Glory to God. The light that is inside of you speaks in the dark. And here's how it speaks. You know, consider the mountaintop as the light. When you're on the mountaintop, when you're in the light, you're hearing the voice of God clearly. You know, Holy Spirit speaks, you get it, you know it, and things are good, and so forth. Well, someday, it looks like that's all changed. You're in the dark, it looks like. Well, you know, you cry, but it looks like God is not answering. You pray, it looks like God's not answering. And it seems like you are in the dark. And the Lord said to me one time, he said, when you think you're in the dark, remember what I told you when you thought you were in the light. Because if you follow me, you will have the light of life. You will not walk in darkness, but you might think you are in darkness. And you might think the Lord is away from you. You can never get the Lord away from you. You might walk away from him, but he will never leave you nor forsake you. But here's what one man said. He said, when I am in the dark, what am I going to do? Well, you're going to let that voice and that light that's inside of you, you're going to let it shine. Let's read how he said it. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. This is how he said it. He said, look, rejoice not against or over me, my enemy. But when I fall, I shall arise. I mean, I might fall from the mountaintop. If I already bottom, there's no falling. But when you are, there's only a risk of falling when you are up. If you are down, you're already down. So when you are up is when you can fall. That's why Paul said, let him that thinks he's up, be careful lest he comes down. Let him that think he stands, be careful lest he fall. Now, when you're up, everything is cool. But when you are down, or the devil knocks you off your stance, well, this man said, well, when I fall, I shall arise. So hold your peace. I'm not going to stay down for the count. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. That's right. And you know that you carry the Lord with you. He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you have that Christ in you, if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, quicken your mother body, you have that light inside of you, it doesn't matter what's going on around. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, because inside of you there is light. Let the light shine, Jesus said. Matthew 5 and 16. It's inside of you. Let it shine. Gross darkness may be around you. The devil may tell you that things are falling apart, but you say no. Things are not falling apart. Not if I have something to say about it. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto you. I'm going to come up out of there. Praise the Lord. Now, there was a man in the Bible that used this phrase of, that was then, but this is now. You know, there's this story in John chapter 9. There was a man who was born blind 40 years. And you know this story. You may know this story. disciples asked Jesus, whose sin was it? The reason for this man's blindness from his birth. Was it his parents or was it his? Jesus said neither. But that the glory of God might be revealed in him. And I've told people before that for me, it's one of the hardest things I ever read in the Bible. Nevertheless, at some point, they challenged the man and say, you can't be healed. You know, you cannot be healed on the Sabbath day. It's unlawful for you to, you know, I mean, who healed you on the Sabbath day? How many days for you to be healed? All these type of things. No, not on the Sabbath day. These people were so wicked. Well, the man said, he said, well, who healed you? I don't know. Well, the man must be a sinner. Would have healed you, because he should have known not to break the law. I said, well, in John chapter 9, verse 25, he said, well, you know, I don't know whether the man is a sinner or not, but one thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. Now, that's pretty much the same statement as that was then, but this is now. I was once blind, but now I see. That's all I know. And you can't take that testimony away from me. Praise the Lord. You know, you can argue philosophy and debate this and that, but I know that I was once blind, but now I know that I can see. That's it. You know, as to what, by what means I am see or not, you can debate that all day you want, but I was blind, but now I see. That was then, but this is now. Huh. Glory to God. And he said, well, you know, decided to tell him all other things. You know, as you know, you know, there is always, God always has, you know, the propensity, capacity, and also the willingness to change the day. He left that for us in the cycles of night and day so that we can have hope. When you look at nature and you understand things, you know, say, ah, this my situation cannot last forever. Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And in the moments of darkness, well, when the day finally dawns and breaks, you can say, well, that's gone. That's now. I'm going to rejoice in the light. Praise God. Jesus himself said it. Rejoice and walk in the light while you have the light. You know? Because the darkness is coming when no man can walk. You know, so it's like cycles. When you have the light with you. And finally, Jesus was instructing the disciples, say, look, your own light actually can last longer than the regular light. Regular light only lasts 12 hours a day. Well, your light can last. You see, because if you walk with me and after me, well, you have the light of life, which will be bright. And you can't hide that light, he said. You know, I am the light of the world. John 8 and 12. He that followeth me, he shall not walk in darkness. Well, it's not that darkness will not be around him. He already explained that in John 11, 10 that we read. But because he has the light of life inside him, it's not dark to him. He can see clearly. Praise God. Now, so you look at the dark, gloomy days, and the devil try to bring it back to you and say, wow, you know, you fell yesterday, you're going to fall again today. You were not healed then. They prayed for you, prophesied over you multiple times. You have gone to many doctors and so forth. You know, it didn't work out. You know, they fired you last time. You got this job. You think you're going to. Every time there is a reduction in workforce, you are always going to be, you know, in the cut. He tells you all these things. What's your response? What's your answer of faith? Well, that was then, but this is a new day. Glory to God. No matter where we find ourselves, there can always be the hope of a new day. As a matter of fact, there was this man who screwed up his life so badly. You know his story, right? We call him the prodigal son, you know, story in Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 to about verse 32. But there was a turning point in his life in verse 17 or so. That was a turning point. And he had screwed up. He made a big mess of his life. He got a windfall of fortune and messed it up, you know, and wasted his living and so forth, we are told. You know, but, you know, at some point, the Bible said, he came to himself. You know, and when he came to himself, see, that was the turning point. Now, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, there must be turning points in our lives at different times. When you are faced with things and things are not working and so forth, sickness, disease, all these other scenarios that I've mentioned, you need to come to a point that you say, look, I know that in my father's house there's such and such. This man, that's what this man said. I know that God is able to do this and this. And, you know, I may have been struggling, but I'm going to, you know, strengthen myself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David said, well, you see, you should have minded your own business. You had no business going to fight for the Philistines on something that did not concern you. Now look at you. Your wife, your children, everybody. Everybody around you, they hate you. They're going to stone you to death. Well, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalm 42. Why art thou disquieted within me? I will yet hope in him, because he will be the light of my countenance. I was in the dark, but now I'm going to be in the light. I'm going to strengthen myself. Now, we must learn how to live in the victory of the light and not in the past defeat. The past disappointments, those past things that didn't work out, we got to step into victory of a new day. The new day in Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 3 say, arise and shine. That means you were down. Arise means, you know, you don't tell somebody that's already risen up to arise. You know, you only tell somebody who's down to arise. You don't tell somebody to shine who's already shining. You tell somebody who's covered with darkness or think they are to shine. And so these things that God said, arise and shine, is for you when you are down and you think you are in the dark. The Lord of the mountain is also God in the valley. You know, when you are in the valley, he's there with you as well. But you have a responsibility to snap out of that gloominess and snap out of that despondency, because that's what the devil likes to put on you. Your response ought to be, this is a new day. Whatever happened yesterday is yesterday. I tell people, take your finger off that rewind button. It's not going to do you any good. If you rewind it at all, rewind it one time. And erase it and write a new memory over it. That's right. Write new memories. Living in the past, well, that's the fastest way to continuous defeat. But the devil will bring all those negative things of the past. But I am not going to let the devil rejoice over me. That's what Micah said. Don't, you are not going to rejoice over me. Hallelujah. I'm not staying down for the count. I'm going to rise. When I sit in darkness, I'm going to let the light that's inside of me from the Lord shine. Glory to God. You know, and the children of Israel, you know, when they were in darkness for so long, I'm talking of the days of their captivity, bondage, oppression, etc. Well, by the time they were free, they wanted to go back into bondage. But they've been in bondage so long. That's all they knew. And so Moses had to tell them some things. I mean, all those things that Moses told them was because they couldn't break free, you know, from their bondage. Things like, well, next time they slap you around, you slap them back. Because when they were in slavery, they used to be slapped, beaten, their women ravished in their presence. They could do nothing about it because they were slaves. They'd beat them up, pluck out their eye, do everything to them. And they could do nothing because they were slaves. Moses had to teach them, look, this time around, fight
for yourself. Somebody slap you, slap them back. Somebody pluck your eye, pluck their eye back. Somebody fight me, fight. Well, that was not the way of the Lord. But Moses had to teach them that because they had been so long in bondage, they didn't know how to be free. You know, people have been so long in negativism, they don't know how to receive the good news. Praise God. That's the problem with people who are living in sin. They've lived so long in sin, they cannot comprehend the good news that Jesus can deliver from a life of sin. He can come out, be a child of God. They can't comprehend it. They live so long in sin. And even if they do come out, the devil will tell them, well, it's better in Egypt. Yeah, it's not better in Egypt, ladies and gentlemen. When you were there, you were in bondage. Now, let me put it to you this way, that beginning today and every day after this, remember this exhortation, that a new day is dawning. You get up in the morning, it's a new day. Yesterday's gone. Glory to God. You know, and you can claim strength for the new day by looking into the word of God. Garnish strength for the day. But yesterday is gone. Praise God. Something bad happened on your job yesterday and so forth. And today, as you get up, you can't even, you're not even looking forward to going there because of what happened yesterday. Well, go there. And you get up in the morning, you say to yourself and say to the devil too, you know, that was then, but this is now. That was yesterday. Today is a new day. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, every day can be a new day. Or it can be the continuation of the bad day from yesterday. The choice is yours. You can make it a new day. Do a clean break. And let it be the dawning of a new day. And, or you carry, you know, bring over all that gloomy stuff from yesterday and continue in it. And then tomorrow you continue in the same thing. Or do a clean break. Isaiah 52. And verse 2, you know, shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, you know. Get out of all that, you know, gloomy stuff. You know, loose yourself from the bands around your necks and speak to the day and say, look, day. You know, Jesus one time said, look, that day was created for man, not the other way around. You know, today was created for me. Day cannot be doing whatever to me and I'll be under it. No! You know, praise God. You speak to the day in the womb of the morning. You speak to the day. Say, day, behave yourself now, you know, and be in alignment. And you speak what you want. You know, the Lord says, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. And I have a goodly heritage. So let everything be in alignment. You speak over your children. Speak over your job. Speak over your spouse. Speak over your house. Speak the good things of God. And the devil tells you, Your declaration of faith is not going to work. You've been declaring that for months and years. Look at you. You're still in the same place. I say, well, that was then. Today is a new day. Hallelujah. That has to be your response. Every year, year after year, they told Abraham the same thing. You've been telling us this thing for years. Quit already. You father of nations, when will you quit? You know, you'll never be the father of nations. You need to at least have one child, and then we'll know you're going somewhere. You're going nowhere, and you keep telling us father of nations. Well, he told me that I will be, and I will be. Glory to God. And you know, look, we need to put, and I'm going to pray a prayer right now for some of you in this room. Glory to God. Holy Spirit's moving on me right now. I can see it. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray against the arrogance of the tongue. Hallelujah. Iniquity, he said, let not iniquity prevail over you. You know, some of the kings of Judah, they knew how to pray that prayer. You know, and I'm going to pray the scourge of the tongue, the arrogance of the tongue. Hannah was a woman that her adversary, the other wife, tormented her. You know, Rachel was a woman that even her sister, Leah, tormented her. You know, and so forth. You know, and, but, you know, they finally got to a place, see, and I'm going to pray that the Lord will bring you into a place, a new place of hope and jubilation. Hallelujah.
Oh, the devil said, well, you know, every time you start a new job, you know, it doesn't work anyway. Well, so what? That was then. This is now. They said, well, you know, you've done all these things, the procedures and so forth, it's not worked. How do you think this one's going to work? Well, that was then, but this is now. The Lord didn't help you then. He's not going to help you now. I mean, the devil has, I can't even think of all his ways. He has many ways to come out against you, you know, and your wellness, you know, your prosperity. The devil has so many ways to come out, but you got to have an answer for the devil for every which way. Praise the Lord. The book of Zechariah chapter 9 verse 12. There are some people that the scriptures refer to as prisoners of hope. Well, there are many ways to interpret that. So let me read it to you here, and I'm going to pray for everyone that's in the room. This is a new day. We're not going back into that gloomy stuff. Praise God. Turn ye to the strongholds. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord said, prisoners of hope. You know, people that are in prison. I mean, there might be a little glimmer of hope, but they're actually oppressed. You know, bands of wickedness, oppression, the arrogance of the tongue, you know, the chiding of people and so forth and whatever. And the devil has a sharp tongue too. And he'll tell you all kinds of things. You know, well, the Lord said, today I declare unto you, I will render you double. Double for your trouble. Glory to God. If you can believe that, you can receive it. But I want to tell you today, you prisoners of hope, you don't need to be a prisoner of hope anymore. Move, let your hope move you toward faith. Faith sees as now something that is yet future or not yet done. It's your evidence. You have it at hand by faith. Even though you don't see it yet, you by faith you have it. But you must never lose hope. Praise the Lord. Now, I am going to pray for you to understand this lesson. It's a short lesson. I'm done here. I want you to understand it, that you can use your faith to answer all the imaginations of the devil against you, to say there is a dawning of a new day. And this is appropriate because the Lord said, blow the trumpet on the first day of the seventh month. And we did that yesterday. You know, so this, think of this as a continuation. That it's a start of a new thing. Make an announcement is what blow the trumpet means. Make an announcement. Say it on the housetops. What I tell you in secret, say it on the housetops. What the Lord told me. You know, that there is a dawning of a new day for you. And so I'm going to blow it. Habakkuk was told, write the vision. Make it plain. Speak it plainly. That people get a hold of it and run with it. So I'm making it plain. There is a dawning of a new day for you. And you can say, that was then, but this is now. And I'm going to pray for you that the arrogance of the tongue, you know, Hannah said, well, you know, speak no more exceeding proudly. For by God, all actions are weighed. Said, and by strength shall no man prevail. And then he said, the Lord had remembered me in my low estate. Praise God. Now, your situation may be sickness. Yours may be, you know, some desire that you've been believing God for. Whatever it is, you know, and the devil will continue to chide you that you're not going to get it. I mean, last year you didn't get it. Year before you didn't get it. January through June, you didn't get it. What makes you think you're going to get it now? That was then, but this is now. It's a dawning of a new day. And so, Father, I thank you for all your children that are here. We're not prisoners of hope. We are believers of hope and faith and joy and all the fruit of the Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
And we're turning to the strongholds. And I declare in the name of the Lord, every stronghold of doubt and unbelief and fear and the voice of reason come against these strongholds. And I speak to them. Let them crumble, broken at the knees. That's right. I can see that right now. It's like God put a, you know, like a baseball bat to the kneecaps of those strongholds. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as these strongholds begin to crumble, let hope arise in your heart. You know, rise. You know, I love the, you know, the phoenix bird. They have this myth in Phoenix. They said this bird can rise from the ashes. You know, they have this myth that, you know, every couple of thousands of years, this bird, you know, just rise. It's a different kind of eagle. And it just rises from its ashes. Well, I'm not going to wait 2,000 years or whatever. But today, you can arise and shine. Because the glory of God is upon you. And you can say, Jesus said, say to this mountain. Hallelujah. And when you say it, the secret is, you must not doubt it. Well, why, how can I say it and not doubt it? Well, you repeat his word. That's it. Don't think about it. Just repeat his word. And Father, I pray for everyone that the devil has come against with lies to say that you can't make it. You can't do any better. You can't receive that miracle because you've been trying and it's not going to work. They prayed for you. They've laid hands on you. They're always failing. And so it will always be. No. That was then, but this is now. That sickness, you tried many things. It's not going away. It's always going to be like that. No, that was then. This is a new day. Hallelujah. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my glory and the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. You will lift up your head in Jesus' name. Your head will never be bowed in shame. My people shall never be ashamed. The Lord said in Joel, he said it multiple times. My people shall never be ashamed. My people shall never be ashamed. My people shall never be ashamed. I'm saying it and declaring to you in the name of the Lord. My people shall never be ashamed. And again, my people shall never be ashamed. You shall know that I am the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God. And I am in the midst of this WWG family. And I am your God. There is none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. Joel 2:26-27. And the people shall say, ah, what wonderful thing the Lord has done for them. You yourself will say, see what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. But now we're in a new day. The Lord bless everybody that's listening on here today. The Lord empower you to rise in faith. Let faith rise in your heart like incense. Let it rise. Let it rise. And let it rise. And come out and fight a good fight of faith. And stand your ground and still be standing. Having done all, stand. Still be standing. And you must stand. Don't give in and don't give up. Praise the Lord. The Lord make it a new day for you. The psalmist said, the Lord have pulled me out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. I was in quicksand. That's what miry clay is like. You know, the Lord pulled me out. You know, when you're in quicksand, you're struggling. You even go deeper. You know, but the Lord, he pulled him out of there and put me on a rock. Hallelujah. Established my goings. Changed the story. Once I was in miry clay, but now I'm on solid ground. Glory to God. Once I was singing songs of sorrow. Now he's giving me new songs of joy. You know, once I was singing the blues. But now, you know, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.